Today's daf is Chulin daf Ches. We are holding on daf Zayin and Beis. We didn't quite get to daf Ches. We're at Va'am Rabbi Chanina, Ein Adam Nokev Etzba'o. So we are just toward the very end, five lines from the bottom on daf Zayin and Beis. So we're going to continue. Yesterday we were discussing our Pinchas Ben Yair and his Chamar and a number of lessons related to that, Ein Odom Elvado. So we're going to just finish up that piece. One more Hanhaga of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair and one more element of Ein Odom Elvado, of recognizing that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the entirety of today's Daf Ches, is going to be all about knives. First, we're going to talk about shechting with a knife that's hot, that if the knife is hot, do we have to be concerned that something is happening to the animal, making it not kosher, even as you are shechting with it? We're going to bring a raya to this discussion from a similar discussion relating to nega'im, relating to tzara'as, that there are different types of wounds that can develop. There are wounds that come as a result of force and pressure or sharpness, and there are wounds that come as a result of a burn. So we're going to discuss the different types of wounds and what if you have something that's both sharp and hot, similar to our case of a knife that's hot that you're shechting with. So what do we assume is the dominant feature? What do we assume makes the impact on the person? And then the Gemara is going to discuss, starting on the bottom of Amud Aleph, knives of Avodah Zarah, that what you can and cannot do with the knife of Avodah Zarah. Asur Bahana'ah, but maybe you can do things that are considered mekalkel, that are considered to be destructive with knives of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to have two explanations of Machlokas, whether if you shecht with a Sakin Shalgai, what you need to do with the Beis HaShechita, with the area where you shechted. Do you just need to rinse it, or do you need to cut away a certain amount from the Beis HaShechita? And we're going to have two explanations of what that Machlokas is really about. We're going to talk about a knife that was used to shecht the Treifa. We're going to talk about how many knives a Shochet is supposed to have, and why he needs that number of knives. So all of that is going to be about knives, Be'ezur Hashem, in today's daf. Let's first finish off what we were doing yesterday. V'amar Rabbi Chanina at the bottom of Zayin and Beis. Ein Adam Nokev Etzba'o Milamata, Elam Kein Machrizanav Alav Milamayla. A person would only injure his finger down here on earth if there was such a hachraza, such an announcement made in Shemayim that that's what he deserves, that that's what's supposed to happen to him. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ma mitzadei gever konenu va'adam ma yavin darko, that Hashem is gozer on the tza'adav shel adam, on the person's footsteps and everything that happens. And sometimes the decree up in Shemayim is that he's going to stub his toe. So Amar Rav Lazar, dam nikuf meratza kadam ola. A person stubs his toe, it's going to be meratza like a dam ola. It's going to be like, if he bleeds a little, it's going to have a status like a carbon ola. That's what it accomplishes for him up in Shemayim. So Amar Rava, begodel yamin, that's only the right big toe, because a person walks with a certain force, and that hits the hardest when you injure that toe. And ubinikuf sheni, that's only if it's the second wound you're already receiving on that spot of your body, on that toe, and the first wound hasn't fully healed, because that hurts a lot more when you have a wound that's already there and it hasn't fully healed. Vudekazil dvar mitzvah, and it's really only mechaper like an ola if you were going on your way to go do a mitzvah. So the Marsha asks, what do you mean on your way to do a mitzvah? Gemara in the first parak of Pesach, shluchei mitzvah, and nizakin lo balichasan lo b'chazurasan, shluchei mitzvah, don't get hurt. So how can you say that he's on his way to go do a mitzvah, and that's when he stubs his toe? I thought he's not supposed to get hurt when he's on his way to do a mitzvah. So he explains, based on what the Gemara says, that if a person is maharher, hirhuri avera, balichaso, the Gemara is going to say later in Pesach Chulin, then he's nanash, even if he's going for a dvar mitzvah, that having hirhuri avera can cause a person to be nanash. Gemara discusses how a person could have had something happen to him while he's doing the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. That's the thing that caused the Acher to go off, that he sees Shiluach HaKein, as the Torah says, is going to be a skula for Arichos Yamim, but he saw someone die at a young age. So how could that possibly happen? And a Shulchan Mitzvah and Nizakin in general also. So no, but a person has Hirhurei Aveira at the time that he's doing the mitzvah, and then he's going to be able to be hurt. So that's where Reb Lozer says that it's Meratzah, says Marasha so beautifully, it's Meratzah like a Dam Ola, because the Ola is Mechaper, the Yerushalmi says, on Hirhurei Halev. So that's what he needs the kapara for, because obviously if he got hurt while he was going to do a mitzvah, he must have had hirhurei halev. He must have had hirhurei aveira. So last thing on Zayin and Beis, Amar lav Rav Pinchas ben Yair, miyamav lo batza al prusa she'ina shalom. Rav Pinchas ben Yair would never break bread over a piece of bread that didn't belong to him, that belonged to somebody else. Umiyom shamar al daito lo nena misudas aviv. From the time that he matured, he would never get hana'a from his father's su'uda. He was no longer relying on his father's table. So this was in line with what we learned yesterday, that when Rebbe saw Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair, and Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair accepted his invitation, Rebbe got all excited, because this was the reputation of Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair, that he didn't take from other people, that he was not interested in taking from other people. So Rashi explains, what does it mean that he was lo batal prusa she'ina shalom? That he never said Birch Samotzi on bread that wasn't him, that wasn't his, because he didn't want to eat a kazayas mishal acherim. He wasn't interested in eating a kazayas that belongs to other people. So the Marsha explains the lashon of the Gemara is al prusa she'ena shalo, that even if the other people only had a prusa, and that's why he was, meaning specifically because rather other people only had a prusa, he saw that they didn't have a full loaf, they only had a prusa for themselves, so he wouldn't take from them. And that was in line with what we learned yesterday also, that a person has to be careful, and that where Rav Pinchas ben Yair himself said when he explained to Rebbe why it is that he turns down so many invitations, because a lot of people that are most generous have the least, and he doesn't want to take from someone who doesn't have. So specifically a prusa, if a person only has a prusa, he didn't want to take from someone who only has a prusa. However, if he had a prusa and other people had a shlema, then he would be mevarich on the shlema, says the Marsha, because that's a halacha. If you have a prusa u'shlema, the shlema is kademis lebirch samotzi, that you're supposed to say the bracha on the full loaf. This halacha lemaisa. If you have two things, one of them is cut in half and one of them is full, you say the bracha on that which is full. Chassam Sofer has almost the opposite interpretation. He says where Pinchas ben Yair invited other people to eat al shulchano, and he would have like coarse bread, and they would have pasnikia, they would have much finer bread, and al pidin, you're really supposed to make the bracha on the finer bread, but because that's more chaviv. But he wouldn't say the bracha on the finer bread, because he just couldn't bring himself. To him, it was less chaviv. He couldn't bring himself to eat from that which was designated, even if he himself had designated it, but that which was designated for other people. Okay, so these were some of the hanhagos of the tzidkus of Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair. Now we move on top of Daf Chesam and Aleph, and we begin our discussion of knives. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmuel, li bein sakin v'shachat bal shechitaso k'sheira. If one heats up a knife with fire to the point that it becomes red hot, and then he shechts with it, with this hot knife, the shechita is going to be kasher. We do not assume that the behema got burnt from the heat of the knife, and therefore was not killed by the sharpness of the knife in the derech of shechita. We assume it was the shechita that did chiduda kodem lelibuna. The sharpness of the knife precedes the heat of the knife in terms of killing the animal, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So, frankly, Gemara, it's true. Maybe the sharpness of the knife, the sharpness of the blade, will have its impact before the heat of the very edge of the blade. But ve'ikat stadin, aren't there the sides of the knives that are also very hot, that are touching the simanim as it's slicing through them? So, as it's slicing through the simanim, the sides of the knife are burning the kanav of eshet. They're burning holes in the simani hashchita, and any nekev in the veshet makes the behema a treifa. So how could Rabbi Zera be machshir the shchita before the shchita is over? There's already a hole in the veshet because of the heat of the sides of the knife. He says, no, it's not the way it works. Beis hashchita mirvach ravach. When you slice through with the shechita, that which you slice starts widening, broadens, so that the sides of the knife don't actually touch that which you've already cut. It doesn't like contract, it sort of expands and broadens, so that when you cut through, the sides of the knife are not actually touching the simanim, and that's why it's not going to make a hole in the simanim. The Chasam Sofer quotes from his Rebbe, from the Hafla'a, Chasam Sofer Atur Rebbeim, the Hafla'a and Rav Nasan Adler, so he quotes from the Hafla'a that I had a Purim Suda once. Hafla said as Purim Taira that Rabbi Zera was the only one who could have said this, that if you shecht with a hot knife, that what is actually the effect on that which you are shechting? Is it the heat or the sharpness? Because come Rabba Shachtei the Rabbi Zeira, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that at a Purim Suda things got out of hand once, and Rabba Shachtei the Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira is the one that felt what Shechita felt like because it happened on him. So he's the only one that can make such a comment. So Chassam Sofer takes it very seriously and has some sort of limud from it because he took everything as Rebbeim said very, very seriously. But Pashtus says it was a Purim Taira. I mean, this is the halacha. This is not, and it doesn't say that Rabbi used a boiling hot knife to Shachtei Rabbi Zeira. Okay, so. So the Gemara raises the following shaila, related to Rabbi Zeira's notion of chiduda kodem lelibuna, that the sharpness comes before the heat in terms of affecting the animal. So libin shvud b'hikabo. Let's say you heat a spit and you hit a person with it. So the spot where you strike him is affected by a boiling hot sharp object. So when the person has a refuah from that, a nega appears. So how do you view that nega? Because there are different halachos for negaim that come in different contexts. Sometimes a nega comes on a wound that comes from a strike or from a sharpness. Sometimes it comes on a wound that comes from a burn or something like that. And there are different halachas. So mishum shchin nidon or mishum michva nidon. Is this nega like a nega b'makom shchin that comes through the heat generated by a haka'a, by a striking? Or is this like a michva which comes from skin that was wounded by fire or by toldos ha'esh? Because here you have both things. A shvud creates the strike, and because it's boiled, because it's hot, it also creates burn. So the ma'inaf kamina says, well, what difference does it make lahalacha whether it's mishum shchin or whether it's mishum michva? Both halachas in terms of those two types of wounds are actually the same. So the Gemara explains l'chedetanya. No, there is an afkamina in the following way: shchinu michva metamin b'shavua echad. Both by a shchin and a michva, you're right, they have something in common. You only get 1 week of hesker. There's no second week of hesker that you have by other negayim. By a se'es, a beheres, a pachas, and by all those other negayim, if at the end of the first week the nega is still there and it hasn't changed, so then the kohen puts him away, closes the guy off for another week to see how it develops. But a shchin and a michva, the person is only put aside for 1 week. If at the end of the week the nega is the same exact size that it was, he's declared tahor. If it hasn't grown at all, nothing has changed, so he's declared tahor. But if simanei tumah develop, and we'll see what these simanei tumah are, then he's considered a mitzora muchlat. Then we declare him to have absolute tzaras. He's no longer in like this holding pattern. That holding pattern only lasts for 1 week. So the simanei tumah that are metame by shchin and a michva at the end of that week are the following: b'shnei simanim, with one of the following: b'seir lavan, either a white hair develops in it, uvefision, or if the nega expands in some way. V'lama chilkan akasav, why does the Torah distinguish between a shchin and a michva and have separate parshio, separate sections that discuss a shchin and a michva, since they have the same halachos anyway? Shouldn't they have been written together in the Torah? It should have just said ki yeh bo ba'oro shchin o michva, and then go through the dinim are all the same anyway. Lomar shein mitzdarfin zemzeh. The Torah distinguishes, the Torah sets them in two separate parshios to tell me that they can't combine with each other to be mashlim the shear of the size of a nega. If a nega is smaller than a gris, then it's not a nega. It's got to be dafka the size of a gris. That if a person has a small nega that's kechatzi gris, that comes from the heat of a that comes from the heat of a maka, that comes from the chom of a wound, and another chatzi gris nega that comes from a direct burn from esh or toldos esh, they're not mitzdarif with each other, and the person is going to be tahar. So that's why the nafkamina, whether it's important to know, that's why it's important to know whether it's mishum shchin or mishum michva. So the shaila was, if you're libein shvud vihikabo, and let's say it creates a half a gris nega next to another half a gris nega that's either from shchin or michva, how do I view this half a gris? If it's if the first half of the other half of nega is from shchin, and then how do I view this? Is this from shchin and therefore it's mitzdarif, or is this michva? Machla, and therefore it's not Mitzdarif. So Vitanya, and we have another Braisa. Ezu Shchin ve Ezu Humichva. What is the definition of a Shchin versus a Michva? So Laka be'etz be'evan, if a person is wounded by wood or by a rock that strikes him, even though he doesn't have an open wound from the Makkah, but the flesh gets heated up right away from the Haka'ah, Begefes, or the remnants of olives that you just squeezed the shemen out of, which is also a natural heat that comes, and a person gets burnt from that heat, Bechame Tveria, or the Chame Tveria, which are naturally hot springs. All of these things are not Machmas Esh. They have nothing to do with Esh. These are naturally hot phenomenon. Something happens to his skin, he gets hurt, he gets burnt, but not because of or toldos or, nothing related to fire. La suye ever meikaro, even including if he gets burnt from raw lead in a place where they mine lead from, zeu shchin. So that's going to be called a shchin. Ve'ezuhu michva, and what is the definition of a michva? What kind of nega is a michva? Nichva begachel, with a hot coal, beremetz, with hot ashes, besid roteach, with you burn sid in a kivshan, in a furnace for a while, and it becomes boiling, begivsis roteach, another type of sid that burns, or b'kol davar b'machmas ha'or, or anything that comes as a result of fire, lasuye chame'or, including water that was burnt, that was heated by fire, zui michva. So a person gets a burn in the conventional sense by something that was a result of fire or was heated by fire, that's going to be a mikvah. So even though mikvah and shchin may appear to look the same in a certain sense, because they both come as a result of heat, we're not talking about an open wound, we're not talking about a bruise, they're both really a result of heat, but they're different types of heat. There's the natural non-fire heat, and then there's fire-related heat. Vitanya, and we have another braisa, shchin u'michva. If let's say you have shchin and michva in one place, that in the one area of the body, im shchin kodem l'michva, if the shchin comes before the michva, batal michva es ha-shchin. So that which comes second, the michva comes and is mevatal the shchin. The michva kodem es l'shchin, batal shchin es ha-michva. If the shchin comes second, the shchin is mevatal the michva. The nafkamina would be, if the shchin, whether it's a shchin or a michva, like we said before, legabe tziruf, that if let's say the shchin was the size of a chatzi gris, and then he gets burnt with the fire on that same chatzi gris of his body, so that place now becomes a michva. So if he now gets another chatzi gris mishum shchin shalom achmas ha'esh, next to it, it's not mitzdarev to create a single gris, because it's a michva and it's not a shchin. But if it would not have been mevatel the shchin that was there before, then it would be mitzdarev to each other to equal the gris, and he would have been tamei as a result. So the Gemara explains, based on these brisos, the suffolk about our that we raised in the first place, right? What do we talk about? Libein shvud. You heat up a spit and it strikes a person. So what is that? Is that shchin or is it michva? So v'hachei chidami. Over here, what exactly are we talking about? Kugom da hava bechatzi gris shchin meikara. Meaning, in order for our case to be a nafkamina, it has to be that a person has a chatzi gris of shchin originally. V'libein shvud v'hikabo. Then he heated up a spit and he got struck, v'nafak bechatzi gris acher, and next to his original chatzi gris of shchin, a new chatzi gris appears, and now because this shvud both had the heat that results from a makah, from a strike, as well as the heat of being heated by fire, samai. How do we view the new chatzi gris that came about as a result of this strike? Chavata kadim. Do we assume the force of the strike comes first, and therefore it's mechameim the area of the makah? Vasi havla umevatel el chavata. Now in this case, by tzaras, whatever comes first is least impactful, because we learned in the Braisa that whatever comes second is mevata, that which comes first. See, when it came to the shechita, whatever came first, that's what's actually killing the animal. So if it was the sharpness of the knife that comes first, then the animal is kosher, because the heat of the knife didn't kill the animal. If it were the heat that came first, it would make the animal a trefa. So we're most interested in what comes first having the maximum impact when it comes to shechita. When it comes to tzaras, it's the opposite, because the Braisa told us whatever comes second is what's going to define what type of tzaras it is. So va'asi havla umevatale l'chavata. Then the heat is going to come, the heat of the libun of this shvud is going to come and be mevatal l'chavata. Vavle shchinu michva, and therefore your two chatzi grisim of nega, one is going to be shchin, one is going to be a michva, v'lo mitzarfin, and we know that those things are not mitzarif with each other to equal a gris, and the person is not a mitzora. O Dilma, Havla Kadim. Or maybe no, the impact of the heat of the fire comes first. Vasi Chavato, Mavatale Lahavla. And then the Chavato comes second, and therefore that's what really defines it. And Vahavale Shchin, Ushchin. So what do you have? You have a Chatzi Gris of Shchin next to another Chatzi Gris of Shchin, Umetztaref. And that's going to be Metztaref to make the full shear, and the person is going to be a mitzora. Tashma, so the Gemara says, we want to know what comes first when you have a shvud that is that you are melabin, that you heat up. Well, we have our halacha. Damar b'zeira, Amar Shmuel, libein sakin v'shachat ba shchitas al kshera chidud akodim libuna alma chavat akadim. Our halacha in Hilchos Shchita should resolve this issue in Hilchos Saras, that if you heat up a knife and then you shecht with the knife, it's kosher, because the sharpness is ultimately what kills the animal, which is what makes it a kosher shchita. And that comes, so you see that the chavata comes first before the heat, and therefore by tzara'as, it's the way to define the nega is based on the heat, because that's what came second. So says the Gemara, not necessarily a raya from our case. Chidud shayni. We're talking about different things. When we're talking about the shechita, we're talking about a knife who has that has a sharpness to it that you shechted with. So the sharpness certainly comes before libun, because the makom of the chidud is very, very narrow and doesn't have a great deal of heat on it, because how much heat can be in the actual sharpness of the blade? But a shvud that you're a malabein and you strike someone with, since it's much thicker and the heat is much more intense, maybe it burns before the strike of the makkah has the ability to create any sort of chimum that's going to cause an injury. So maybe it would be different depending on the type of kli that's doing the damage. So Tashma, says Gemara, we could be poshet the safek from Braisa. Libin shvud vihikabo, nidun mishum, michvas esh. So why would it be considered mishum michvas esh? It must be that the koach of the makkah is mechamim and makes a shchin, and then the esh burns him and makes a michva, and that's why it has the din of a michva, because what comes second matters in the world of tzaras. Alma chavata kadim. So from there we see that the chavata actually is what comes first. It is not the heat of the fire that comes first. So says Gemara, no, not necessarily right from that price either. Hasam nami debarze mivraz dahainu chidud. Over there you could also say that we're not talking about where it was a shvud, where you could say that the koach of the esh came before, burnt before the koach hachimum, but we're talking about that you stabbed him, you didn't strike him with the shvud, you stabbed him with the sharpness of the shvud, and that's the same as chidud, meaning a spit has a sharp end to it. So we're talking about two different shaylas. You boil up a spit, and then what? How does the person get injured? He's getting injured because you whack him with the spit. That's one possibility. The other possibility is you take the sharp edge and you stick it in his skin. So the sharp edge, that's very similar to the case of the knife, but that's not going to tell us what the halacha is going to be if you whack him with the side of the spit. So therefore the Gemara remains at a suffix. It doesn't have any clear rayos one way or the other, at least in this shayla that relates to tzara'as. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses other issues relating to knives, but we're out of the world of tzara'as now. Now we move on to other issues relating to knives. Amrav Nachman Amrav Baravua, Sakin Shal Avodas Chavim. If you have a knife that you use that was used for bringing karbonos l'avodah zarah, so therefore that knife is going to be asur ba'ana. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Aleph and Beis, learns this from Pasuk in Devarim Parakid Beis, Aved Ha'abdunas Kala Mekomos, that even the Kelim that you were Meshamish La'avodah Zarah, you have to be Ma'abid, and you have to destroy them, you can't use them, they're Asur Ba'anah. So you have this knife that was used for Tekrovus Avodah Zarah. Mutur Lishchot Ba, Va'asur Lachtoch Ba'basur. You're allowed to shecht with it, but you're not allowed to cut meat with it. Why? Mutur Lishchot Ba, you're allowed to shecht with it, Mekalkelhu, because Shechita, by definition, is a destructive act, so it's not considered that you're getting Hana'a from the Yisuri Hana. Why is Shechita a destructive act? Because when an animal is alive, it's worth a lot more than when an animal is shechted. As Rashi points out, when an animal is alive, you can use it for three different things. You could be Megadol Vlados with it, you could do Malacha with it, and you have the potential eventually one day to eat it. Now that it's shechted, you can only do one thing with it. You can only eat it. So therefore, it's considered an act of kilkul to shecht an animal. V'asur lachtoch ba'basar, because masakinu, but you're not allowed to cut already shechted meat with such a knife, because to cut your meat, to use it as a steak knife, that's certainly going to be considered masakin, because you can't eat a steak whole. You have to cut it in order to be able to eat it. So that's considered to be masakin, and that's therefore going to be usher. The Rishonim raised the question, the Rashba, the Urayim, and others, that even if the value of the animal goes down through Shechita, but a person wants to eat meat, so he has to shecht the animal in order to eat meat, so isn't that considered to be a misakin when it's osa ritzona, when he's fulfilling exactly what he wants to do with it? And furthermore, Tosus raises the question that the Gemara Lechor is against the Gemara Maseches Psachim, Dafayin Gimel. Gemara Psachim, Dafayin Gimel tells us, Hashochi b'Shabbos is chayiv. Even in a case where it's Neser Ba'ana, a person shechts Avodah Zarah, or shechts Kachem B'chutz, he's going to be chayiv, and there's no p'tur of Mekalkel, because there was a Tikkun Kol Shehu. Now it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. Now it's not Eiver Minachai. It's no longer Eiver Minachai, so there's a Tikkun Kol Shehu. So apparently, you don't need a broad Tikkun. It doesn't have to be that now it's worth more than it was before. It just needs that you've accomplished something. You've done something, even in a slightly positive way. And our Gemara seems to say that it's considered to be Mekalkel, that it's a problem. So Tosus raises that question, and Tosus writes, Shaini Shabbos to Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. V'kiven sheyesh tikkun porto chashem Melechas Machsheves. The gedder of what's considered tikkun and kilkul and hilchos Shabbos is different than in other areas of halacha, because by Shabbos the key words are Melechas Machsheves, mindful activity. So as long as you've accomplished what you set your mind to do, that is called a tikkun in hilchos Shabbos. Shelekach miskaven afal pisha kilkul yasal tikkuno. Even though from an objective perspective, this person has done more damage, more harm than he has good, but that's not what we determine. That's not how we determine Kilkul and Masech HaShabbos. Mekalkul and Masech HaShabbos is about, did you accomplish what you set in your mind to do? Whereas over here, in terms of an Isser Hana'a, if you've done more harm than good, then the net Hana'a is a negative, and if it's a negative, then that's not called Hana'a. V'lin yinen, ame'avot tzchavim, lo chash v'na'a, kivashe kilkulo, yeser al tikuno. The kilkul is greater than the tikun. So that's the halacha of a knife, shalavod zara. So Amar Rava, see, even though he says that we generally would assume that Rav Nachman is correct, pa'amim sha'ashochet aser b'mesukenes. Sometimes you're not even allowed to shecht with the sakin shel avodah zarah if it's a behemah mesukenes, because if you don't shecht it, it's going to die on its own anyway. So it's a great tikkun to shecht the behemah. No one's going to want such a behemah. You can't be mekadel vlados with such a behemah. You can't do work with such a behemah. It's going to drop dead anyway, and then it's going to be absolutely worthless. So when you shecht it before it drops dead, now you could use it for its meat. Umechatech mutter, and sometimes cutting meat is going to be mutter, because it's not going to be considered a hana'a. Ba'at me dekaimen lekorbana. If you have good cuts of meat, like the shoulder, the thigh, that could be given as a proper gift to an adam chashuv, and by cutting it up into small pieces, you're ruining it. So now the person is doing the opposite of hana'a by cutting it up. It's considered to be a negative effect in cutting it up. There is a discussion in Rishonim whether the isra of using a knife of Avodah Zarah when it's considered misakein is only nisr l'chadchilu, but b'diyeved would be mutter to get hanah from the basar, or even b'diyeved it's going to be a problem. Meaning, okay, our Gemara made very clear, you're not allowed to use a knife shel Avodah Zarah in a way that has a net gain for you. So you're going to cut a piece of meat and now it's going to be edible for you. That's you're not allowed to do that. Okay, but I did it. Can I eat the meat now that I've already done it? So the Rush in Siman Tes and the Ravid, they say that that which Rav Nachman Aser is cutting with a sakat shel Avodah Zarah, and that which Rava Aser is shechting a behema mesukenes, only a din lechatchila. But the Evid, if you did, the basar is not going to be aser. It's not a violation of leyidbak biyadcha meuma min acherim that you're not allowed to use anything shel Avodah Zarah, and this is not considered something that belongs to Avodah Zarah. So the Achronim have problems with that with that group of Rishonim. What do you mean? It's not going to be Usher. There's a klal in Maseches Tumura called that whenever you're not allowed to do something, whenever the Torah says that something is Usher, not only is it Usher, you're not able to affect it, you're not able to make it work. So if we're going to say that the Shechita is something that you're not allowed to do, the Shechita of the Mesukenes is something that you're not allowed to do with the knife that's Shalav Adazara, then it shouldn't even be a Kasher Shechita. But that's that group of Rishonim. Then there's another group of Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ra'ah, the Ran, the Meiri, that is Shechita of behemus mesukenes, or cutting basar shkuta, it asers the basar b'diavad, just like if you bake bread with atzei avodah zarah, that the bread itself is going to be aser. There's sugis in the second paragraph of Pesachim about this, about getting hanah from eitzim shel avodah zarah. It's not only direct hanah from the eitzim, that which the eitzim are able to produce. They heat up an oven and that oven bakes bread, so the bread is going to be aser. That's also going to be considered to be nana from the avodah zarah. So even b'diavad, it's going to be aser. The Rambam seems to have a vastly different read of the entire sugya. The Rambam explained by the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yutes, is that the Gemara's whole discussion is whether you're allowed to shecht or to cut is only b'diyeved legabe the basar, whether it's mutzah la'achila. But l'chadchila, you're certainly not allowed to use the knife at all for anything. I mean, the Rambam learns that the whole sugya is only talking about b'diyeved. The whole discussion of Rabbi Sakhan Mekalkil is only b'diyeved. L'chadchila, you're absolutely not allowed to use the knife in any which way. And even by shechting a healthy animal or cutting up good pieces of meat where it's considered mekalkel, you're still not allowed to do that. When you're mesakein, the basar becomes asur legamri, and it's you have to be molech v'anol liyam melech. So and the Rambam would say, even when it comes to baking bread with atzei avodah zarah, where the bread becomes asur legamri, it doesn't help to be molech d'mei hana liyam melech. You have to throw it out entirely. That's how the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam, a totally different read of the entire sugya. Okay, now the Gemara asks, how can we say that you're allowed to cut using a knife of avodah zarah in a way that's makalkel? Shouldn't you have to worry about the shamnunis of isur that might be on the knife, and there's the fat that's in the edge of the knife where it's going to be it's going to get into your meat now, and therefore it's going to cause a problem for your meat? So says Gemara, b'chadasha. We're talking about a brand new knife that no one ever cut with, so it didn't have any blios of Isser. So chadasha, wait a second, bein the Rabbi Shmuel, bein the Rabbi Akiva, you know, there's a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva by Avodah Zarah itself, whether it becomes Usr right away when you're miyachid the knife, whether when you're miyachid the Avodah Zarah, or only when you actually worship the Avodah Zarah, but Meshamshi Avodah Zarah Mehen. But over here, we're not talking about an Avodah Zarah itself, we're talking about a knife that is used as Meshamshi Avodah Zarah. And when Meshamshi Avodah Zarah Mehen Nasurin Achi Abdu, everyone agrees that Meshamshi Avodah Zarah only become Usr if it was actually used. So how can you say we're talking about a new knife? Then it wouldn't be labeled the Sakin Shal Avodah Zarah. It can't be a new knife. It has to be a knife that was used for Avodah Zarah. Says Mar Iba Yisayim of the pasuk of Gavza. It could be that you cut wood with the knife. Lavod Zchavim. Yeah, it was used for Avodah Zarah, but it was never used for food. Avodah Zarah. It was never used to shecht. It was used to chop wood for the sake of Avodah Zarah, and that's how the knife became aser. But it's still considered a new knife in the sense that it's never been used for food. The Iba Yisayim that we're not talking about a brand new knife, but the Yeshana Shelibna Ba'ar. It's an old knife, but it's a knife that's been kashered. You did liban on it, and therefore you heat it up till it became red hot, so whatever isser is in the knife has disappeared. And that's why we're not worried about the actual shamnunis on the knife having an effect on what you're trying to, the meat that you're trying to cut to eat. So now the Gemara brings a machlokas about shechita with a sack and with a knife that belongs to a guy. Itmar, hashochet b'sakin shel avdi k'chavim. A person shechts with a knife of avdi k'chavim that has shamnunis of isur in the knife. Rav amar kolin. So Rav says you have to peel away the immediate section of the beis hashechita that touched the knife, because that part of the animal was boleya from the sakin and became asir. Rabba Barbar Chana Omar Madiach. No, all you need to do is rinse it away. It's good enough to just rinse it off. You don't need to actually cut it away. So Lema Bahaka Miflegi. So maybe what they're arguing about is the following. First of all, Tosus points out over here on the top, Hashem Kazanishlov Chavim Rabba Makol, if Tsar Klamid be Yodin Bashi Bas Yoma, Di Lafachi, I might call it Rav, Astam Kemshlov Chavim in Bnei Yoman. It has to be that you're assuming that it was used within the last 24 hours for non kosher, because if it wasn't used within the last 24 hours, then the tam in the knife is anyway a tam pugum and is not going to trafe up anything. So, and we assume that a stam kli of an ovid chavim is in b'nei yom and has not been used in the last 24 hours. So it has to be that you make an ukimta over here, says Tosos, that we know that it happened to have been used within the last 24 hours. So says Mar Lema Baka Mifli, maybe the machlok is about whether you peel away the area or rinse away the area is about the following. The Mar Savar Beis Hashchita Tzonein, that Rab Bar Bachana holds that the area of the animal when you shecht is not so hot, and therefore it's not going to be boleya from the shamnunis of the isser, so you don't have to peel anything away. Whereas Rav holds that no, that area when you shecht the animal is boiling, it's very hot, and because it's very hot, it's going to have the ability to be boleya from the knife, to get the bleos of the knife. So Gemara says, look, you don't have to say necessarily that Rav Bar Bachana holds the Beis HaShechita is Tzonin. Dukuli Alma Beis HaShechita Roteachu. Maybe everyone agrees the Beis HaShechita is Roteach. Mandia Markolit Shapir. So then you understand very well why one would say to peel away that area, because the whole Beis HaShechita is Roteach, so it has the ability to absorb the tam. So that Shita certainly makes sense. Umandia Madiach, and the Shita that says to just rinse it away, that the simanim are not able to be boleya because they're too busy expelling blood. They're gushing out blood. So as it's gushing out blood, it's not going to be boleya. And that's why you could get away with the hadacha. Ikeda Amri, others say it a little differently. That you don't have to say that Rav holds at the Beis HaShechita's Roteach. You can say the other way. Dekuli Alma Beis HaShechita Tzonein. That everyone holds the Beis HaShechita is cold. Mandi Amra Madiach Shapir. So if you say that you just rinse it off, I understand very well, because the Beis HaShechita is cold. Mandi Amra Kolek. And the one that says that you have to peel out the meat from that area, Agav Duchka Sakina Bala. Even though the Beis HaShechita is cold, and normally Tam doesn't transfer when things are cold, Duchka Sakina has an impact. When the pressure of the knife, since the knife is being applied with pressure on the flesh, the shamnunis of the knife gets into the basar, and that's why you need to be kolev. Now the Gemara brings Machlokas Amoraim about kashering a knife. Sakin trefa. You have a sakin that shechted a behemah trefa, that's asur b'achila. So pligibar of achav ravino to machlokas amroim. Chad omar b'chamin, you need to do agala with boiling water, because the beis hashchita is roteach, the sakin is boleya from the shamnunis of the trefa. V'chad omar b'tzonein, and the other one says, no, you just need to rinse it off in cold water, because the beis hashchita is tzonein, the beis hashchita is cold, and therefore it's not going to be boleya. Again, beis hashchita means that part of the animal that you cut, the neck of the animal, as it's being shechted. V'hilchasa afilu b'tzonein, the halacha is that you can kasher it even with cold. V'yika belisa de parsa lemichperei lo tzarech, and if there's a piece of cloth that's worn out, that's made from felt, from hard felt, that you could clean the knife with, then you don't even need to do adach. I mean, you can clean it off with a Brillo pad or something like that. Ulamandi Yamar, and according to the Ashita, that you have to do agala on the sakin, b'chamin mai taima. Why do you have to do agala on it? Mishum de kabbala isura, because it's boleya, the shamnunis of the trefa, it's boleya isur. So date renami bala ever menachai. So it says, well, wait a second, every knife that you use for any shchita is boleya and isur, because an animal, while it's alive, is Zeiver Menachai. So shouldn't you say that after Shechita, every knife has to be kosher in some way because it's Balea, the Tam of Eiver Menachai? Says Mar Emas Bala Luchi Chaima. Emas Kachaima Luchi Gamra Shechita. Now, when is the knife Balea? That's only when the Beis HaShechita heats up. When does the Beis HaShechita heat up? At the end of the Shechita. Heishaita Hetera Hava. At that point, it's no longer Eiver Menachai. It's already Heter Gamer at that point. Amr Vidot Marav, Hatabach Tzorach Shlosha Sakinin. A butcher needs three knives. Ech Achash Shoshokhipa, one that he shechts with, he should not cut anything else with, because you don't want to ruin your Shechita knife. That's what makes him Muksamach Maschas from Kis. A Shochit would never use a Shechita knife for anything else, doesn't want to create any pigimos. Ve'echash Mechatech Babas, one that he cuts his meat with, Ve'echash Mechatech Ba Chalavim, and one that he cuts out the fats with to sell in the Shuk. He shouldn't use the same knife for the meat and the fats because the chelev is also ba'achila. V'liskin le'chada. So says the Gemara, can't he have one knife for chelev and basar, v'lichtoch ba'basar, v'hada lichtoch ba'chalavim, and use it first for basar and then for chelev? No, gzera shem yach l'chalav machach basar. That's a little too risky. We're afraid that he's going to do it in the reverse order. Hashanami mechlifle. Well, if you need two knives, you still have to be choshish that maybe because he's going to be so caught up in his work, he's going to switch the knives and he's going to cut the basar with the knife that's for chelev. Kiva that's rechinu trei islay akeva. No, since there he requires two knives, he's going to make a simon on one of them in order not to confuse them. That's what the Rama writes in Simon Peites, that our minig is that we have a milchig knife and a fleshig knife, and we make a simon on the milchig knife so that you could recognize which one is which. Okay.